Father, we are grateful to you. Thank you for how you've helped us. Thank you for how you've given us word, precept upon precept, line upon line. Thank you, O God, for salvations. Thank you, O God, for deliverances. We say your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Please, you may be comfortably seated. Hallelujah. Very quickly, tonight, I'm going to see how fast God will help us. We're looking at, do I call it how to marry well for a life of dominion? Hallelujah. Yeah. It's one boggling question in the minds of many, many, many young people. How do I get to marry well? I've heard God's servant, he's talking. He talked about somebody who a lady came and deceived and told him that he's the one. He's God's will for her or something like that. And then only to tell him that this is not a normal marriage. Terrible. Carried. He got scholarship. An admission abroad, got to the immigration in America, and the woman turns and tells the immigration officer, this man kidnapped me. Eh? The guy entered trouble for years. I think it took almost 10 years for him to get out of the complication of that. Nobody here shall make a wrong choice in the name of Jesus. Nobody here shall marry wrongly in the name of Jesus. If you are a believer in the house, you shout aloud, amen. Very quickly, we're going to see what are the keys to making a good marital choice. And then the second objective is, what are the keys to being the right marital choice? You know, ladies, that ideally, under normal circumstances, you should be approached by the man and be, proposed to by the man. But it's important that we know, as men in the house here today, how do I look out for the right person? And then as ladies, how am I the right person that can be picked on? Praise the Lord. Let's look at the book of Esther. The book of Esther and chapter 2. Esther chapter 2 and verse 2. We'll take from verse 2. I'm sure you all know the story. There was a deposition because of arrogance and pride and all that. And you remember we've talked about humility as part of the pathways to dominion. Now, Esther chapter 2 from verse 2, it says, then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king. And let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair young virgins unto Shushan the palace, to the house of the women, unto the custody of Hegel, the king's chamberlains, the keeper of women, and let their things of purification be given to them. I'm going to stop here. We'll take like 2 points or 3 points from this verse. 2 or 3 points from this verse. Point number one is purity is required for a marital dignity. Purity is required. Now, when the king's chamberlains were making the proposal to the king of how he can find a queen, the proposal was for a virgin, a person of purity, a person of integrity. They were not going to advise him to go for one of those girls that has been hanging out with boys in the campus or living anyhow lives. The number one requirement was a life of purity. There are those of you here today that are about to enter into marital relationships. One of the foremost things that must be maintained in that relationship is absolute purity. Somebody say, I hear. Number two is rarity. Rarity, they say, seek for them. Seek for these fair young virgins. Look for them. Go for them. Go after them. They are not the kind of young girls or young boys that are found recklessly strolling up and down. Have you ever been into a university campus and you just see some girls just loitering in the evening? They are just strolling around with bum shorts and tank top, and they are just moving around aimlessly, just strolling around so they can be seen of men. The Bible tells us about the people wearing the attire of a harlot, the attire of a prostitute. Hopefully, if time permits us, we're going to analyze the dressing of Esther later on, and we're going to take it as a benchmark for how we should appear. Somebody say, I hear. Number three is consistency of purification. Here it says that let the things for their purification be given unto them, and let and that was done consistently for day after day after day, and then it moved into months, and until they completed 1 year. 1 year of purification. That's what they underwent in preparation for selection as the person that qualified to be a queen. Beloved, I'm telling you something. You are royalty. You are a queen. You are a king in the making, and God is going to cause you to identify your king, identify your queen. If you believe it, shout aloud, amen. Am I rushing too much? I'm trying to beat time because to soon be time for commanding day midnight prayer. Are you okay with the speed? All right. Number four. So that consistency of purification was in verse 3. We just saw that. Number four. Let's read that from verse 7. And he brought up, okay, talking about Mordecai, right? He brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. So it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree were heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace, to the custody of Hegel, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house, to the custody of Hegel, the keeper of the women. Praise the Lord. I'd like to make a very vital point here. And that is the fact that to be easily chosen, or to be easily accepted as a husband, you must be a reliable, dependable, and obedient daughter or son. You should be the kind of son that has grown up with your parents and they trust you. They can rely on you. They can vouch for you. You should be the kind of daughter that your parents have watched over the years. And they say, yes, this is a marriageable material. Yes, this is an asset to our generation. Yes, this is one that if a young man comes, we can easily say, you are released to go into that home. The kind of daughter that while you are growing up, your mother says, come, let's cook. It's time for us to prepare lunch. It's time for us to get this done. And you are not frowning and grumbling and dragging your feet. You are the kind of person who, when you wake up in the morning, you are doing what I call in the house in those days, your morning parade. You get up, you sweep the surroundings, wherever it's allocated to you for that day, you get it swept and dusted, and you get yourself set for school, get yourself set for the days ahead for you. That kind of daughter is a recommendable material. You come to a point where you are dependable as a young man. This scripture says Esther grew up with her uncle Mordecai. Not even her father and mother. You know how it is growing up with an uncle, growing up with somebody who is not your biological father or mother. The tendency for friction is very high. The tendency for rebellion and disobedience is very high. Yet, she lived with this couple and she was not found wanting. Beloved, I want you to retrace your steps. If you are the one that has been consistently constituting challenges to your parents and to your brothers and sisters, please, this is a time to wake up. You cannot think you will jump up from a rebellious existence as a son or a daughter and enter into a marriage of sweetness and dignity and harmony. Number five. I know some people are not going to like me today, but I can't be bothered. At the end of the day, what I want to hear is, oh, Mama, thank you for raising a wonderful daughter for us. Can I tell you the story? A story all time. Time. It is well. Some years ago, I think this was shortly after we got married or so, and the young lady came, you know, the way you call my mother's classmates from her secondary school, I think that was Gindri, Gosa, I think, is it Gosa they called it? So they came, her friends came, oh, this is a new wife, this is a new husband of their classmate's daughter, blah, blah, blah. So it was a little get together, serve them drinks, serve them some food and all that. And then one of the daughters of one of them was telling a story about a woman that raised up some children. So she raised up her daughter and a house help. The daughter and the house help incidentally got married at about the same time, same day or same week or something like that. And 6 months down the line, on the same day again, coincidentally, the daughter and her husband arrived in the parents' house, and the house help and her husband arrived in the daughter, in the mother's house. And the house help's husband was like, "Mama, I want to appreciate you for raising up such a wonderful daughter. She has been so good. My meals have been so wonderful. The house is so clean. I've just been having a good time. She's not quarreling with me. She's not arguing with me. Everything is in order." And the daughter's husband said, "Hey, how manage? Well, me, I brought your daughter to return her." It's like back to sender. Because I found that she's not able to, he couldn't cope with her. May that not be your portion in the name of Jesus. Do you know you still have time to make amends? You can still make amends. Tell your neighbor you can still make amends. Hallelujah. Number 5. The favor you receive from people around you is key to your favor in establishment maritally. If you look at verse 9, the favor you receive from those around you, and say, "And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him. And he speedily," you remember they handed her over to the Hegel, the keeper of the women, right? So the Bible says that the maiden, that's Esther, pleased the chamberlain, and he gave her speedily all her things for purification. Such things as belong to her, that is her entitlement, being in that custody. And he gave her 7 maidens, which was meet to be given to her. That is, from the day they come in for the competition, every one of those people that qualify to go through the screening process or the choice to be picked as a wife, they gave them things. There were things they gave to them, their clothing, their things, everything. And they also assigned to them 7 assistants. Let me say, maybe those who are slaves that they had picked from some countries, they assigned 7 of them to each of the girls. And then the Bible says, and he preferred her and her maidens unto the best place of the house of the women. What's my point here? Under this, I say, number 1, be a person of character. I've shifted to number 6 now. I've talked of being a person, when you have favor, the people around you will favor you, even towards your marriage. You know, in those days, when somebody came and said, "I've seen who to marry," you know what they used to do? They used to go and investigate them to their father's house, their grandfather, their great-grandfather. How many of you know about that practice? Nah, you guys don't know that kind of thing. Even you, these pastors, you don't know about it. Eh? Okay, well, whatever. They used to investigate them. Say, is there madness in that clan, in that line? Is there promiscuity in that line? Is there this? Is there that? And all those things are things that they consider before the parents of the girl will say yes, or before the parents of the boy say, okay, go ahead. Now, your favor, what people perceive of you, is part of the answers that they will give when they come to investigate about you. So, and then number 6, we said, when you are a person of character, it fast tracks your achievement in life. They say, the Bible says that the chamberlain did what? He gave her the things that pertain to her speedily. How did he give it to her? Speedily. He gave her quickly. There are people that struggle for things. There are people that struggle for placement. There are people that struggle for recognition. But when you're a person of character, what is your benefits, or what is your rightful, what is ascribed to you rightfully comes to you without hesitation. Number 7, be discreet. Look at that in verse 10. Let's go at verse 10. It says, and Esther had not shown her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. All right? There are some of us, many of us, we are too loud. We want to show off our latest handbag. Show off, oh, we are now carrying Gucci. Oh, tomorrow we are carrying Louis Vuitton. Now tomorrow we are carrying Yves Saint Laurent. We want to show off. We want to let everybody know, this is who my father is, or this is who my mother is, or this is what I have. Beloved, lie low. Stay subterranean. Stay like a submarine. Let them discover you. There are some of you young men, you are confused now because all the girls are after you. Why? Because they have seen that, this boy has money, oh, hey. Then they come flocking, acting and pretending around you. No. Stay under cover. Stay under radar. She obeyed her uncle and she made sure that she was undercover. Let's jump from Esther now. I'm supposed to go on to talk about her dressing and her appearance. But let's see how far we can go from Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24. Open to Genesis 24. Let's look from verse 40. This will save us reading the whole story from the beginning, from verse 1. So verse 40, the man is summarizing here. The man said, that is the servant of Abram, said, and he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way. And thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Then shall thou be cleared from this oath that you have taken. All right, let's stop there. Number one, I was labeling the other one for the women and this other one for the men, but everything applies to all of us. Do you understand? So, but I'll still do number one, two, three from here. But ladies, it still applies to you, and men, it still applies to you. So number one, depend totally on God for direction and leading. As far as the marital destiny thing is concerned, you do what? You depend totally on God for direction and for leading. That the servant of Abraham said, Abraham prayed for me and said, let God lead you, the God that I serve. Let him lead you, and then you will find the right person. Number two, go for your kindred. What did I say? Go for your kindred. I'm not saying you must, Idoma, you must marry Idoma, or Igala, you must marry Igala, or Igbo, you must marry Igbo. No, I'm talking about kindred spirit. You know what they call a kindred spirit? You belong to the same family of God. You hear the same kind of messages. You have the same belief systems. You practice the same kind of practices. Not that you are in the house. It's Sunday morning. You need to go to church. And the new wife you marry say, me, I'm not going to church. Oh. Hey, it's not every day you go to church now. I don't know where you would have found such a wife. Nobody shall encounter such in the name of Jesus. Say amen if you believe it. Say amen louder. As much as is possible, the divergence of culture can be a cultural shock in the marriage. So as much as is possible, if there are a lot of things that there's a lot of variation, a lot of difference, there should be at least some things that you flow on the same path. You think alike, you talk alike, and that kind of thing. Now, if you see me and my husband, God's servant, we'll be cracking jokes. Everybody around us will not know what we're talking about. We can take our jokes from medical practice. We can take our jokes from Bible. We can take our jokes from things that are common to us. I don't know if you're understanding me. I don't speak his dialect. I don't speak his language. He doesn't speak mine. But there's still some similarities and some closeness in cultures and in practices. But we have other things that we have similarities about. We can remember a joke from university days and we'll laugh heartily. Or we'll remember a joke from the way he does when he's preaching and he says, he turns things into medical terminologies. Who can remind me? What? Or electricity. That one is from language. Allah in his language is fire. So when you take Allah and you jam electricity, it becomes what? Electricity. Alright? But those kind of things, are you understanding what I'm saying? So have a common ground. Let there be something that at least you understand 100% of where he's coming from or where she's coming from. Is anybody together with me? Not that you went and married somebody. Who is not born again? Let's put it that way. Where the scripture tells us, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. So you now get yourself attached to somebody who isn't even born again, who has no realities of what you live for, what you abide by. Or somebody, you are talking missions, the person is talking enjoyments. You've heard God's servant say that there was somebody, I think they were trying to introduce him to or something, or contemplating on somebody or something, and they were walking and he saw some farmland or something, and then he said, oh, I love farming. And the guy said, hey, I don't like farm. Even if he was thinking in that line, that was the end of the thought that day. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because that means we are in totally different realms. Praise the Lord. I have to stop there. There could be more that I would have been able to explain. But number three, pray for and look out for content. You see in verse 42, what did this servant ask for? The same way in Genesis 24, verse 42, says, and I came this day unto the well, and I said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, yes, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgins come forth to draw water, and I say to her, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she says to me, both drink thou, and I'll also draw for thy camels. Then the servant said, that is the woman that you have appointed. Is anybody together with me? So we said in that place, look for and pray for content, not just container. When you look for content, the container will always fall in place. I'm telling you guys, when I was in university, before my husband saw me to marry me, I was without form and void, though. Up till today, that time, it is any cloth my parents buy for me. I'm talking of 50-year medical school, I'm still wearing what my parents bought. I had classmates that would go shopping, they would go to Terminus Market, buy material, buy fabric, then go to tailor, give tailor, tell them cut like this, sew like this, do like this. For where? Me? How? I didn't have the time. Have I finished reading Bible? Have I finished praying prayer? Have I finished reading my medical books? Then I should be making guy up and down. So I had some clothes. They were very interesting. You see it like this. Wait, what? I'm showing you the A-line. I'm trying to describe how the A-line... Do you know A-line? Just the skirt is just like that. And then the jacket, some will be, jump up. Not the style that they sew now that you call it, is it 3/4? You guys are just moping. Anyway, summary is, if pastor was looking for only container, I would not have been a candidate. But today, am I doing badly? I think I dress well. Without much effort, but I dress well. I don't go all the way to like, kill the bank. Thank you, I'm flattered. Praise the Lord. So now, what was I saying? The content is very important. Look at the character of the person. How is the person's disposition to others? One day, our evangelism team, because we have a team who is like on our payroll and all that, and then when senior pastor and I go for all the evangelisms around the city here, they go with us, and then they do the follow-up. They go to visit the people, go to bring them to church and all those things. So I saw one of the ladies. We've just finished the altar call, and they came forward. They were taking their names and phone numbers so that we can call them up later. And she was frowning. She was frowning for them and just talking, braga, braga, braga. She was just, I had to call. I said, be nice. They are not fighting with you. These are people who you are trying to bring to the God you are serving. So smile for them. Be nice to them. Stop frowning and stop shouting. When people see you in town, you are frowning for everybody. In your workplace or in your university, they never see you friendly. You are frowning for everybody. If you now come and tell your brother, say, bro, so there's this sis I've been praying about and I'm just feeling a leading. Say, eh, that one, don't go now. She's a quarrel person, well. Do you understand? You have already spoiled show for yourself. That shall not be the portion of anybody in the name of Jesus. Character. What are some of the things we are looking out for as far as that is concerned? Number four, a person of generosity. When the servant asked her for a drink of water, it is her with her own mouth that opened her mouth and said, Oga, don't worry, I'll give you. You can have your own water to drink, but I won't just stop there. All these your servants that are with you and all the camels that are with you, I will also fetch water and give them. Eh? I've done the analysis before in a previous message. Do you know that one camel drinks how many gallons of water? Is it 4 gallons or 12 gallons? Can you Google it, Mr. Gen Z? You know Gen Z people, everything. Google is their school. Praise the Lord. So a camel drinks that large quantity of water. And this young lady took it upon herself. Person asked you for water. Just one person asked you for a glass of water. You say, I will give you the water to drink. And I will not stop there. I will also give all the people that are with you and all the camels as well. That's incredible. For me, when I read it, I realized this is too much. Thank you, ICT. Clap for yourself. A thirsty camel can drink up to 53 gallons of water. That is 200 liters of water. Is there any bottle of water here? Anybody with a bottle of water? The average bottle of water, the smaller ones, are 50 cl. That is half a liter. Yes, the one you have there is 75 mils. All right? That is just a little bit less than 1 liter. A camera now. Camera, pick him. All right, good. Okay, that is what? That what's written on is 75 mils, right? 75 mils. So it's just 25 mils less than 1 liter. Now, these camels had been in the wilderness, traveling all the way to come to where they came to in Padam Aram. And they had exhausted their reserve of water. Because what the camels do, they have that reserve and they can travel through the desert without water for weeks. But they make demands on the reserve. So they had already exhausted their reserve, which meant that every camel there might be in need of up to 53 gallons of water. 200 liters of water. How can a young lady take it upon herself to fetch 200 liters of water, even if it's only 10 camels that the man traveled with? That's 2,000 liters of water. Habba! And you know what? A typical well in their setup, that typical well is a little down the slope. You go downhill to get to the well where they dug it to be able to get to water. And the camels will be on top of the slope, which meant that the girl goes down the slope, going down the slope to get to the water. She's going down the slope to get to the water. She gets to the bottom of the slope and then she fetches the water, puts in her pitcher. Puts the pitcher on her shoulder and then climbs with the weight of the water all the way back to the level ground where the camels are waiting to get water and drink. my God. Eh? Wife material. Na so. Otwa. Eh? Wife what? Hi. That was something. And so that was it. So there was generosity, kindness, number five. She was a kind person. She was kind-hearted. Number six, she was a person that accommodated people. She accommodated. You know the kind of women that when her in-law come to the house, now to the frown. You know those kind of women? As the in-law arrived, father-in-law came to visit them. Say, Baba, welcome. Take seat. That's the energy. Baba, welcome. Take seat. Should go and bring water. Or bring food. Say, Baba, see food. Now, when did they go? He just arrived. You're asking him, when is he leaving? Habba now. Your husband's father or your husband's mother. You must be what? A people person. Being able to accommodate. Being able to embrace. I've said it many times before when I'm preaching. When you get married to that man, assuming you marry him at age 30. He got married at age 30. The day you met him, maybe your courtship was 1 year courtship. That means you have known him for 1 year. At that time, he's 31 years old. But guess what? His father, his mother, his brothers and sisters have known him for 31 years. You are just knowing him for 1 year. Why would you want to drive them away from his life all of a sudden because you have arrived? Somebody say bad belle. It's more than bad belle. I watched a skit. A newly married man and his wife are sitting watching TV. Then his brother phoned. His brothers and sister. Ah, sister. Ah, brother. How you doing? Oh, okay. You need money. No problem. I'll send you 500,000. Three of you. Okay. No problem. I'll send three of you 500,000. He drops the phone. And then another call comes in. Behold, it's his mother. Ah, mama. Oh, I'm so happy to hear your voice. Oh, yes. Oh, really? Okay. No. Don't worry. I'll send you 1 million naira tomorrow. No, in fact, I'll transfer now. How many of you watch that skit? You've never... Well, I watched it. Then, I think one more person called. So, the wife said, eh? Excuse me. Just now, you've given out 3 million naira. Then the man said, yes, is there anything wrong with it? He said, let me advise you, this girl, the new wife, oh, let me advise you, cannot be giving money to your brothers and sisters and your mother like that. Me, you gave me 1.5 million, you give me 1.5 million or something like that every month. He's supposed to depict a very rich young man that got married. And then the man said, what do you mean? Do you know what me and them went through before I became who I am? Do you know what my mother did for me before I could finish school and become where I am today? Then I should not give them money. I should not take care of them. I should ostracize them. I should cut them off my life. That's not possible. And the girl was arguing. Grig, 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 grig. He said, you know what? I can let you go now, but those people, they are with me for life. If that girl knows what is good for her, she will calm her mind down and settle down to accommodate the people that this young man worked with before he became who he is. 4 minutes to service. Number seven, hardworking person. Number eight, be decisive. Number nine, be generous and don't beg women for money. Stand up on your feet and let us pray. And number 10, dress well. When Queen Esther was to go and meet Mordecai, what did she do? She changed into her regal apparel and she appeared very regal. Do you know why I'm wearing this? When daddy comes in now, he's going to be wearing something similar. But I had to wear this, the jeans jacket on top of this, because the tailor made this very tight. So it's tight on my bust. I don't want to go out like that. So I put this on top. This is not part of the original outfit. Are you understanding what I'm saying? For decency's sake. Sometimes you see me, some native, maybe in commanding day or something, and you see me with, you know, what they call a shawl, that scarf, and I put it like this over my shoulder. What happened? The tailor made it and it was tight. So what do? I use something else and cover it. You are not chief seduction officer assigned to the life of the children of God. Sister, mind yourself. Tell a sister near you, mind yourself, oh. God will hold you responsible, oh. A man can see you and then see seduction and leave that event, and he cannot do anything with you. He goes to look for a harlot or a prostitute. The sin of that man is part of you. It's on your record. It's on your what? Decency in appearance, neatness of appearance. Finally, those ladies, Queen Esther, before she became queen, and the others, they were in that place for 12 months undergoing what they call purification. They will wake up in the morning, bath. They will soak inside water. The water was perfumed water. They will soak in it, I don't know for how long, and it was aromatized. They were in some sauna and spa and everything for 12 months. When they came out of that, even if they didn't spray perfume, perfume don't enter their body. Young lady, bath every day before you go out of the house. Brother, bath before you leave your room. Number two, there's something called roll-on, deodorant roll. What did I call it? Deodorant roll-on. Number three, if you wear this shirt today, don't wear it tomorrow again until you have washed it. Did you hear what I said? Once you drop a shirt, the sweat of yesterday, today, it will start smelling. So what did I say? Don't repeat your shirt or your blouse or your anything until you have washed it. And finally, stay spiritual. Stand up on your feet and let's pray. Father, help me to be a marriageable material. Father, help me. Bro, stop looking and shining your eye, looking for the finest girl, the one that is wearing the tightest clothes, the one that is looking most seductive. Don't deceive yourself, oh. And sister, if you come out, you didn't wash your face, you didn't brush your mouth, you are talking, they have to turn away, and then you are saying, Father, what happened? What did I do in this life that you are not giving me husband? Father, we ask that your name be glorified. Blessed be your name, O Lord, in Jesus' name.